Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Senior Editor Kelly Davio. During the recent American College of Rheumatology 2019 annual meeting, we caught up with Dr. Paul Emery. He's the Versus Arthritis Professor of Rheumatology at the University of Leeds and the Director of the Leeds Musculoskeletal Biomedical Research Center at Leeds Teaching Hospitals Trust in the United Kingdom. In this episode of the podcast, we're sharing highlights of our interview with Dr. Emery. First off, we asked Emery about a recent pooled analysis of anti-tumor necrosis factor biosimilars that showed overall stability of disease fluctuation over 1 year. Here's what he had to say about the study.
This study was looking at the long-term efficiency, effectiveness of biosimilars. The logic for doing that is that the short-term data were available, but there was a paucity of long-term, substantial numbers of patients followed for a decent period of time. And this looked at well over 1,000 patients and did a pooled analysis and looked at the response rates. And the interesting thing that was shown that 20 to 30% of the responders lost their response, whereas 20 or 30% of non-responders gained the response. So the net impact was apparent stability of response, but with up to half the patients changing status. And that, of course, is because the endpoints used are largely dichotomous, and you flick between response and non-response quite easily with a small fluctuation in your disease. So it's helpful data in that respect, and it's reassuring in terms of the sustained efficacy of the biosimilar products.
Dr. Emery also discussed the year two data from the COMET study of etanercept in patients with rheumatoid arthritis. Here's what that study found.
Yes, the COMET trial published, presented today as a poster, was all about the second year of the study when what we did was the patients had pre-assigned reduction or removal of methotrexate who were previously on etanercept and methotrexate, and the bottom line is there was very little loss of response when you did that. There's little doubt that etanercept works much better with methotrexate when you first start it. There's a multiple different aspects of the action of methotrexate and the interaction with biologics. But it's much less important in the second year. Also, etanercept isn't a very immunogenic molecule, so the role of methotrexate in preventing anti-drug antibodies isn't so strong.
We also discussed the switch to biosimilar adalimumab in England's National Health Service and how patients respond to switching to biosimilars.
The switch to adalimumab biosimilar has resulted in a great reduction in the drug budget, and the way that saving is managed is very variable from place to place. There has been a return to the unit of some of the money. The problem in the UK is the limitation comes from the reimbursement from NICE, not from the money we have for the drugs. So we haven't actually extended the spectrum of disease we can treat. We still have to have a lot of disease activity and have failed two drugs. So a big potential audience for this therapy hasn't yet been treated. But to be fair, NICE is now reviewing it, and because of the cheaper price of biosimilars, it means the QALYs analysis, there's going to be cost efficacy with less disease activity. The switch to biosimilars has been handled on a local basis in most places. We have a very big population on biologics, and we had a whole team who worked on the switching. We had allocated pharmacists, nurses who coordinated it. Patients were all written to and explained about the principle of biosimilars, and they were told that the switch, if they were going to switch, would be completely optional. In fact, most of them were very happy to switch, especially as they knew they could switch back if anything untoward happened. But people vary enormously in the way they handle the idea, and the nocebo effect certainly occurs. Patients think they're going, some patients anyway, think they're going onto a cheaper and therefore less good drug. Others accept that it's the same molecule and they will notice no change. The problem is that in any 1 year, a patient stable on an existing biologic is likely to have a problem. And if you have a problem at the time you're switching, you will naturally attribute that problem to the switch. But I have to say I've been pleasantly surprised by the fact we have switched the majority of patients, and because it was voluntary, it hasn't been voluntary everywhere, but in our case it was voluntary, and they've always had the opportunity to switch back, patients have handled it very well.
Lastly, given the United Kingdom's robust adoption of biosimilars, we asked Emery what he thinks is behind the United States' slower performance.
I think vested interest, probably, if I'm being realistic. There are existing pathways and reimbursements that are very well organized and are quite advantageous to those involved in them. I know that some of the biosimilar companies have found it very difficult to get into this system. So, and as you rightly say, they haven't reduced the price as much as they have in Europe. So a number of reasons. I think it's inevitable they will come. It's just the speed with which they come and how the reimbursements are sorted. You have a much more complex, we have a uniform system where the drugs are free to our patients. So, and one group, you negotiate the price at for the whole population. So very different here with HMOs, and et cetera.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Not So Different. If you'd like to read more about the studies mentioned in this podcast, visit our show notes. Remember, if you like the podcast, you can rate us at iTunes. Until next time, visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.